Okay, here we go. Believe big. That's our title today. Believe big. This is a faith message. So we need to believe big because God is big. God is big. Do you like my big rubber ducky? We have a big God. So we need to partner with him to do big things. So we are talking about God who lives forever here. He has no beginning and he will have no end. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, from eternity to eternity, you are God. He was never born and he will never die. He just is. That's his name. He said, I am. Not I was, not I'm going to be. He was and he's going to be, but just I am. The ever living one. The ever-present one. We are talking about the God who just spoke words and the universe was created. We're talking about the God who flicked the stars out into space with his fingers and then named them all. And he remembers their names. And we think, when I think that the stars are suns in other universes, my mind is just blowing. We are talking big here, people. And we have to stretch our belief to line up with big because big is what he is. He is not a small God. He is a big God, and he thinks big. You thought Rob Muldoon was in a think big, you ain't seen nothing yet, compared to God, because God has big plans, and God has big plans for you. He's got big plans for your city. He's got big plans for your family. He's got big plans for our city and our nation and our planet. Yes, he cares about the little things in our lives. That's true, but he wants us to believe him bigger than we have before for more of his intervention in our world. He wants us to grow bigger, dream bigger, see bigger like he does. He doesn't want us to allow fear or small thinking to become a blockage for what God wants to do in and through us. We have to see bigger. We have to think bigger. We have to see further than we do right now. We've got to stretch our vision in our thinking, in our faith, because I'm here to tell you today, we have to believe big. Tell the person next to you, believe big. Believe big. Tell the person on the other side, because they're feeling left out right now. Believe big. You know, it's like the guy said, well, I don't want to get bigger. I'm already trying to downsize for summer. I'm trying to squeeze into my Speedos for Papamoa Beach. Oh, God have mercy. Please don't. I just got a visual. That was bad. You know, we may think we are big enough in our vision, but God says there's more to come. So we've got to prophesy to ourselves. We've got to get bigger. We've got to prophesy to our spouse, to our friends, to our connect group. We've got to get bigger. If we are not believing God for any growth or any change in our lives or in our city or in our nation, then our revelation of God is too small. If we only ever expect to do minimal things for God, things we can actually achieve in our own strength, then we don't even need God. We don't even need the Lord Almighty. If our vision is so small that we can actually achieve it on our own in our own strength, then we have just factored God out of the equation. And that is a scary place for a Christian to be, when we can do it all ourselves and we don't even need God to come through for us, for anything. And if we're only doing our own thing and our own strength, then why do we bother even coming to church? Why not just join the Rotary Club? Here's the thing. The devil wants to contain us. He wants to contain you. He wants to keep you small. He wants to shrink your life. He wants you to think small, live a small life where you don't influence anyone else for Jesus. He wants to shrink your life down to a point where you don't even need God for anything anymore, to where you are independent, to where you don't take risks because of fear, to a place where it is just all about you. And it's easy to let our fears and bad experience shrink our world down to a safe level where we never take any risks, because faith is spelled R-I-S-K. It's easy to get to a place where we never even have to believe God for anything. We just want to play it safe. We're comfortable. We've got enough insurance. We've got our entire retirement plan. We've got enough savings. We have just enough for our own family and our own needs. Yes, I've got just enough for us four and no more. And we don't need to step out in faith anymore. We don't need to believe God for something new because we have it all worked out ourselves. We don't need him to come through for us. We don't even need to write a prayer request out at church and put it in the offering because we don't have any needs at all. all. And we don't know anyone else who has any either. Or if we do, we don't give a rip. And we're not believing for expansion or enlargement in any way. Nothing new is happening because we've just got it all under control, baby. We've got it all under control ourselves. But before we know it, we've stopped serving God and we're serving ourselves, which is how unbelievers live. This is how the world does it. They have it all worked out for themselves and they don't need God. But this is not how we roll. We are the children of the light. We are the people of God. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. We are followers of Jesus and we have to be utterly and totally dependent on him every day of our lives. And today I believe he wants to lift people up out of fear so you can start to believe God again. And not only believe, he wants you to believe big. Because if our vision is so small we can achieve it ourselves in our own strength, then it is not from God. And I reckon after a while God probably gets bored, silly, with our reoccurring teeny-weeny vision. It's like he's saying, come on, guys, is that all you got? Come on, man, is that all you got? He wants to get involved with something that's so big that it needs God Almighty to get on board with it, or it ain't going to happen. Let's not limit God by having a dream that is too small. Now, I've got a couple of major scriptures. I've got three major scriptures. And so if you're taking notes, the first one's coming up in just a moment. Ephesians. But before we get there, I want to give you a quote by William Carey, the father of modern missions. He said, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Not little teeny-weeny things. Great things. Because the kind of things God wants to get on board with are the crazy stuff. The stuff that you would dare to believe God for, maybe in your heart, but you never want to articulate it and tell somebody because they might think you're like kind of too big for yourself or you know, getting arrogant or something like that. Today is the day we've got to start to believe big, bigger than we've ever believed before. Are you a believer? I'm a believer. Sing it with me. I'm a believer. Yeah, okay, here we go. Ephesians, here's our first big scripture. I sometimes throw some little ones out there too, but this is a biggie. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church. That's the NIV. The New Living says, who can accomplish infinitely more than all we would think or ask. Whatever we can dream up or imagine or think or ask him, he can do immeasurably more, infinitely more. The New American says far more abundantly beyond. So you think how amazing your marriage could be. God says, I'm thinking better. You think how amazing your bank balance could look with no debts, your house paid off or having a house and it's paid off. God's thinking more. You're thinking how many people in your family, in your cousins, and your aunties, and your neighbors, you could lead to the Lord. God's thinking more. He always thinks abundantly above and beyond this 4-inch mind because he is God. And he wants us to get on board and partner with him and start to think like he thinks because the Lord is well able to perform his promises. And this book is full of them. If you've got your Bible there, why don't you lift it up? Maybe you've got your phone instead of your Bible. That's okay. That's spiritual. Why don't you give it a kiss? Say, I love you, Bible. This Bible is the Word of God. And you don't have a Bible because your parents gave it to you when you turned 12. You don't have a Bible because you stole it from a motel drawer. You don't have a Bible because you went down to your Christian bookshop and bought one. You have a Bible because people paid for it with their blood. People like William Tyndale who were burned at the stake so that the common person could read the Bible in their own language and not have some priest interpret the Latin and tell them what they thought it might say. People have paid for this Bible with their lives so we can have our own Bible in our own language, and we need to thank God for that. Anyway, that's not in my notes. This book is full of promises and he is more than able to fulfill all of them. There are no limitations in receiving from God according to his promises. He wants to take the limits off our thinking today. No limits. Say it with me, no limits. Shout it out, no limits. Yes, and we've got to let those limitations that the world has put on our thinking fall off right now in Jesus' name, because some of you here used to dream big And I felt like the Lord told me this a week ago. Some of our people used to dream big, but now they don't dream at all. And God is wanting to put a God dream back into your spirit, back into your heart this morning. Some of us here have had limits on our thinking all our lives, and we don't even know they're there because they've been there as long as we can remember. And they're just a part of us. They're on a subconscious level. They might be part of our family of origin. We don't even realize they form part of our thinking. Things like, well, no one in my family has ever been to university, so I can't. Well, no one in my family has ever traveled beyond Australia, so I can't. Or no one in my family's ever owned their own home, so I can't. No one in our family's ever stayed married for life, so I can't. No one in my family has ever been happy and not on medication, so I can't. But the Lord is here to say, yes, you can. You can. Through Him, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 4:13, because it is a new day and you're under a new covenant now. When you walk with Jesus, He leads you into new ground and into new things. And we know He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But He is constantly doing new things. Isaiah 43:19 says it. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? He wants to lead us into these new things today. And that is going to involve us believing God bigger than we have before. It's going to involve us getting a little bit scared maybe, getting out of our comfort zone. He has got more for us. There is new territory just ahead. In your life, He is taking you by the hand and leading you into new spiritual ground where you haven't been before. So we've got to respond by saying, yes, Lord, switch on our believing. Switch on our faith engine. Get it revving higher than it has ever revved before, because there is more ground yet to take. He wants you to believe bigger for your marriage so it will be better than it has ever been before. He wants you to believe bigger for your family so that it will be at your house like heaven on earth. He wants us to believe bigger. In every way, He wants you to believe bigger for your influence, impacting your world for Jesus at your office, at your school, at your workplace. He wants you to believe bigger for your finances so you can be free and not in debt. And if the Lord said, go over and help with that earthquake in Mexico or that cyclone in Puerto Rico, you could just go because you are not limited. You have the resources to do what God calls you to do, or send someone else, or send someone on these missions trips we're going on. Or if God says go, then you can go. You're ready. You are able. We've got to believe bigger in everything. It's like the Lord is saying, come on up here, guys. Come up with me into my presence. The view is great from up here. Come and see what I can see. I want to show you further. I want to show you new things. I want to show you new horizons. I want you to see further than you have seen before. I want to show you where you're going. He wants to see. He wants us to see what He sees for this city, for this nation, for this planet, so we can partner with Him in prayer and play a part in bringing down these things that are already realities in heaven, in the supernatural realm, bring them down now into our reality, into our city, into our time zone, into our planet. He wants us to see what He sees for His, for our lives and our city and our nation. He wants to show us things that are yet future so we can actually walk into them with boldness. That's why we have prophecy. That's why we're a prophetic people, because we know what's out in front. So when we get to it, we're not afraid to step into it because we've seen it and He's shown it to us already in the Spirit. And we can step into it with boldness, not timidity. Oh, I'm taking a step. I don't know if I should. I think I maybe will, but I don't know if I can do it. Maybe you've got the wrong guy. No, but with confidence, yes. I have been put here for such a time as this, and God has called me. And we stand firm and take our place, because He has called us to do it. He has called you to do it. And why not you? Why not you? You're born again. You're full of the Holy Ghost. You're a child of God. You're exactly the kind of person that the Lord wants to use and promote and show off. So back yourself. Tell the person next to you, back yourself. Back yourself. Because you and Jesus make a great team. Yeah. Sometimes the real reason why we don't expect great things from God or attempt great things for God is because we're scared we'll fail and then we'll look silly and what will everyone say? And besides, we tried once before and we fell over. But when we fall over, we've got to be like Bill English and get back up again. That's what he said. I got back up. We've got to be an overcomer. We can think, well, I had to go once, Eleanor, but I had a setback. We all have setbacks. Even Jesus Christ had a setback. He was killed, nailed to a cross, dead, dead. But he came back from that, resurrected. He bounced back, and we are made in his likeness. We are following his example. So when we get struck down, we need to get up again, like Paul did. Nearly killed several times, stoned with rocks. And he got up again and had another go. And that is what being an overcomer is all about. 1 John 5:4, this is us. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Being an overcomer means there will be things thrown at us that we'll have to overcome. But we will do what he has called us to do by believing big in him. And to do that, we're going to need some faith. So here's our second major scripture, Hebrews 1, verse 1. You know what it is. It's a faith verse. NIV says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Other versions say faith is the confidence, it's the reality, it's the surety of things hoped for, it's the assurance and the conviction of things unseen. In the Greek, the word is for substance is hypostasis. Whoo, sounds like a disease. Hypostasis, I might not be saying it right. Which means like a support, a groundwork, an essence. And it's showing how real this thing is inside us. It's a substance. It's real. It's like support stuff. It's like a groundwork. It's like a foundation. That's what it is. It's like a retaining wall. Faith is something real inside us. It's our internal believing machine. It's like this internal knowing and confidence inside us. It's more than what our five senses can tell us. It's an inner assurance that you have from God. God has put that inner assurance inside of you. It's like you know God is going to fulfill his promises before he even does. And we get excited about it in anticipation. It's not a matter of if he'll do it. It's just a matter of when. God causes us to know and be certain of some invisible things. And this confidence inside us, it's like a knowing. It's not just an idea or a feeble hope. It's real. It's got substance. And the fruit of it is evident in our lives, joy and confidence. We're excited about the answer before we even have the answer. This is what faith is. And people are like, well, look at your situation. Your life's a mess. You should be a basket case. What's wrong with you? Why don't you worry? Don't you feel irresponsible? You should be worrying. And you're like, no, I've got peace. I've got joy. I've got confidence because God has shown me he's going to take care of it all. Well, how do you know? Well, I just know. It's in here. This is where your spirit is in here. Did you know that God doesn't respond to need? He responds to faith. If he responded to need, there would be no third world. He responds to faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, it says in Hebrews 1, I think verse 6. Phil Pringle's written an awesome book on faith. Pastor Phil Pringle, my favorite preacher ever, he said in his book, faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the language God speaks. So if we want to move with God, we've got to speak his language. We've got to get on board with his currency, which is faith. Faith is the one thing we Christians need more than anything else. Anyone who ever did anything great for God was a man or a woman of faith. And we have to be one of those. We can't afford to settle down and take it easy and stay static. The kingdom of God is not static. The kingdom of God is an ever-increasing kingdom. It is moving forward. So I want to ask you a question today. In your life, what do you see in your future? What is it God has for you? What do you see in your spirit today? What are you carrying inside you that's come from the Lord, but it's just not evident here on earth yet? Pastor Phil Pringle had this great analogy in his book about like having a scan in your spirit. You know, those of us who have been pregnant, you go and you get a scan and it shows you, put the jelly on your puku and they look at what is inside you and it comes up on a big screen. Imagine if we were to do that today with all of us here. And imagine if we saw on a big screen what is in our spirit. What is growing inside us was evident up there to see. If I came and put that stuff, jelly stuff on your spirit and put the thing in there and it saw into your spirit, what would we see inside? What is it that is not yet to come? There needs to be something in there because we're not finished our race yet. We're not in heaven yet. Some of us here are pregnant with big stuff in our spirit. Some of you have got songs on there that haven't been written yet. that people are going to sing to the Lord, and it's going to bring glory to Him. It's going to bring the anointing down. Some of us have got businesses in there. Some of us have got whole families in there. Some of us have got whole ministries in there. It's getting crowded in there. What do you see in your spirit? I see thousands more in City Church. I see three more centers at least. I see more buildings. We nearly finished our building in Tauranga. It's going to be usable by Increase. You've got to come to Increase. Make sure you register. Don't miss out. It's going to be amazing. And it's in less than 3 weeks it starts. So come along. I see more buildings being built. I see Tauranga becoming more and more a stronghold for the kingdom of God. Training people up and sending them out from this city. A stronghold of prayer. I see our nation with the hand of God's favor and blessing falling afresh on it, with many, many people being swept into the kingdom of God. We have got to partner with God, people. We have got to believe big. You've got to tell somebody right now beside you, believe big. We've got to believe big because there are people who are going to be saved on the other side of our believing big. Believing, our believing big is dependent on some people's salvation. We've got to believe big enough to see them in the kingdom of God and pray them into the kingdom and witness to them. This is important. There's a lot hinged on us believing bigger than we do now. There's a lot hinged on it. Believing big in faith is the one thing that will keep us moving forward in God. Faith makes future events into present realities for us. Write that down. Faith makes future events into present realities for us. You know, before we had any children, I felt like God was going to give us 4 children. We both wanted 4 children. You know, God said, go forth and multiply. So we didn't just want 2 because we were already 2. And then we'd just be addition. We wanted to multiply. We wanted to do the multiplying thing. We didn't just want to replace ourselves on the planet. We wanted to multiply. So that meant 4. And if you have 3, there's always someone on the chairlift by themselves. It's an uneven number. We wanted to have 4. And I felt like God said we'd have boy, girl, girl, boy. So we got all the names ready. Actually, funny thing about the names, when Alan and I started going out, we realized that his parents, Joe's parents, are called James and Mary. And I said, oh, my grandparents are called James and Mary too. Everyone called them Jim and Molly, but their names are James and Mary. And then we figured out his middle name was James and my middle name was Mary. We felt like it was a sign from God we should get married. So we did. So anyway, we had to use the James and Mary names because they're kind of holy. So we put them in. So we had Caleb James, Kirsten Mary, Sarah Joy, and Andre Joshua. And I can talk about them because they're not here. I'm never allowed to talk about them when they're in the audience, but they're not here, so I can talk about them. Now, I was excited about those 4 kids before they even arrived. I knew they were coming because we had the substance of faith that He had put inside of us. I nearly stopped at 3 because I was so over it. I said, God, I'm sick of being pregnant. I was pregnant with 3. I'd put on 26 kilos, I think. I was just like, God, I've got nothing to wear. I feel like the back of a bus or the whole bus. What am I going to wear on Sunday? I'm going to give Bay Marquee a ring and see if they've got anything that might fit me. I had to wear Ellen's undies. Just a confession. I wanted to get that out. Nothing else fitted. It was a sad day. And I'm like, God, I'm only up to 3. I don't think I can do 4. I'm just too tired. Well, the Holy Ghost got in my face. And He started saying, come on. Come on, girl. There's only one more to go. You can do this. Get this one out. There's only one more. You can do it. And then He starts showing me. We had gaps. We had like gaps, you know, 2.5 years. He started showing me things about Andre and Andre's future ministry that He didn't show me about any of the others. It was like He has this carrot dangling in front of me. Come on, come on, one more. And showing me things. And it's like these things were real, but they weren't here yet. These things are real in heaven. And we've got to pray them and believe them into being on earth. I'm not doing any parenting seminars till Andre is at least 35. Now we get to feed, clothe, and pray for and train up this answer to our faith because we did have, by the grace of God, 4 children, boy, girl, girl, boy. And we gave them the names that were appointed for them that we had already. So there are things that are happening that God's got sorted for us up there, but we've got to believe them and pray them into being down here on earth. These things are real because we can see them through the eyes of our spirit. We just can't see them with our physical eyeballs yet. Because God lives outside of time. And there's stuff that is real. It's just not in our reality yet. It's invisible stuff. It's heaps of stuff he's already done and accomplished. We've just got to bring it down into our reality. And the Lord wants to show us these invisible things and believe for them and prophesy them and pray them into being by believing big. So we can partner with him and pray for things to come down on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. He lets us partner with him in prayer and in prophecy and in faith and see things that are in heaven come down into our reality on earth. So he wants us to believe bigger so we can see what he's doing in heaven and release it onto the earth through prayer and prophesying it in faith. Our faith gives reality to things that are unseen. And just to finish, we're going to look at one more scripture about a guy who believed big. Luke 2:25-32. And I'm just going to read you a few verses from Luke 2 about a nice guy called Simeon. Luke 2. So Jesus has been born. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. So that means he's waiting for the Messiah to come. He's waiting for Jesus. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Lord, you can take me home now because I have seen with my own eyes what you promised. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." So Simeon knew. He had got a download from the Holy Ghost on what was going to happen, that he would live long enough to see with his own eyes God's Messiah, Jesus. Simeon was living close enough to the Lord to hear his voice. I wonder if he told anyone what the Lord had said to him. I bet Simeon would have had an internal argument with himself. What do I mean that I'm going to see the Messiah? That can't be right. Who am I? Who am I to be able to see the Messiah? Why would God pick me? I must have heard wrong. I'm a nobody. This is crazy. But he didn't stop there. He had the audacity to believe big. Simeon partnered with the Holy Spirit and believed big. He believed what God had told him. He accepted the revelation and held on to it and believed that it dictated his behavior. It dictated where he lived. He lived in Jerusalem near the temple because he wanted to be near God's house, because he wanted to be there when God showed up. And he was. And he was. He was watching and waiting patiently, looking forward to it in expectation. He positioned himself in the right place at the right time. Now, the Bible describes Simeon as devout and righteous. He was living with the hope that he would see what God had promised him. He would see it with his own eyes. His whole life centered around it now. And he was positioned in God's house by faith at the right time. Do you know when we position ourselves in God's house? With our families. We live with our whole lives centered around Jesus. We're going to see what we've been believing for. If we position ourselves in the right place at the right time. Another thing about Simeon, it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Is the Holy Spirit upon you? Are you speaking in tongues? If not, come down here in about 5 minutes and I'd love to lay hands on you. I said this last Sunday and one lady grabbed her husband. She goes, "You don't speak in tongues. Come with me." And she dragged him. And she brought him to me and she goes, "Lay hands on him because he doesn't speak in tongues yet." I said, "Okay." And we laid hands on him. And suddenly there was a torrent of the Holy Ghost out his mouth like a river. And he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He had a power encounter with God. You can have one too. And we need that. We need to follow Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was moved. Simeon was moved by the Holy Spirit to be a seeker of Jesus. If the band could come, that'd be great. Thanks. Do you know all the priests missed it? The Pharisees missed it. The religious guys, the academics who knew the Bible backwards, missed the voice of the Holy Spirit. They missed what God was doing. They were even around the temple, but they still missed it. But Simeon tuned in close enough to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And then in faith, he positioned himself to be there. Do you know that Simeon was the first person to lay hands on Jesus and to handle the Messiah other than his parents? And he prayed over them and the parents and prophesied over Jesus and his mother because he believed God. Even though it was so big, he was probably scared and he probably doubted what he'd heard. We can often dismiss the big. We can often discount ourselves from being used by God if it's a great thing. We think, well, God, I can understand maybe you'll get me to do a small, insignificant thing, but not a big thing, not a great thing, because who am I? Because we know our own weaknesses so well. And we think, God, if you involve me, I'm bound to stuff it up. I'm going to wreck your big plans. Pick someone who's got it all together. But no, no, no. He chooses the small things. He chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. He chooses the weak things to shame the strong. So when people see God using you, they'll be like, this must be God, because I know that guy and he's not that good. I know her. She's from a farm. This must be God. And as if we bring anything to the table anyway, as if anything good about us could help God out. He doesn't have a bad day. We are always totally dependent on his power anyway. He's got to show up. Like Simeon, we need to be seekers of Jesus with the Holy Spirit upon us, positioned in the house of God, and then we will be able to fulfill all God has called us to do. We just have to believe big in faith. So I want you to switch your faith on this morning. Faith is a fight. Like it says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Simeon would have had to fight this fight every day of his life since he heard that from God. He would have had to fight to stay in belief and faith. Faith is aggressive. And each of us must learn to push through unbelief and believe big in God. And for decades of his life, Simeon would have had to push through unbelief every day to receive what God promised him, that he would see the Messiah before he died. And he did. Because sometimes faith needs to be pushing.